Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Those of you that normally watch Dog Nation Daily on video, appreciate you taking time today to listen to us in podcast form only, MLK Holiday. We're giving the folks that work with us a chance to enjoy some time off, so we're happy to be with you in a pre-recorded podcast here today. I will say off the top of the show, that means if between the time you're listening to this and Friday over the course of the weekend, if some sort of gigantic news breaks, we'll obviously be back in something close to live fashion to talk to you about that on Tuesday. For now, though, thanks for being with us for this episode of the program. And here on our show, we've kind of already transitioned, you know, to 2018. We're kind of already looking at what 2018 might look like for the Georgia Bulldogs. And in one, you know, case, in one of the most important players in the team, 2018 is going to be a good bit different, at least in terms of how the guy is going to be perceived. I don't know that Jake Fromm changes because of this, but Jake Fromm will be looked at differently by a lot of folks in the country. And the first time I became aware of just how true this is was, it was a column, I believe it's Joan Neeson is how you say the person's name, writer for SI.com. And Joan was looking at some of the big storylines for 2018. And what Joan wrote was, there's going to be this whole new crop of what she calls star quarterbacks. She writes, Baker Mayfield's gone. So's Mason Rudolph, Lamar Jackson, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold. The class of quarterbacks entering the 2018 NFL draft includes some of the most talked about guys in recent college football history. Their departures mark a changing of the guard among many of the top teams. Consider, too, that Jalen Hurts might have lost his job for good at Alabama on Monday night. She goes on to say, a new class of signal callers is ready to take the stage, headlined by Jake Fromm at Georgia. And she goes on to talk about some of the other guys there. But headlined by Jake Fromm is sort of this new class of star quarterback in college football. And I don't know how much time Joan spent thinking about the word star before she used it, but I do think star is kind of an interesting word to attach to Jake Fromm. And it's important to remember something here, that within the Dog Nation bubble, Jake Fromm has been famous for a long time. Jake Fromm was famous way before he even enrolled at Georgia, back when he was still at Houston County High School. He was also famous within the SEC bubble about this time a year ago. A lot of the SEC previews and shows like SEC Country Live that I do, we were kind of already talking about Jake Fromm then. A lot of folks knew about him, even though he was expected to be the backup quarterback. But we're in a whole new world now. Jake Fromm played in the college football playoff, a highly rated Rose Bowl game, a national championship game that was much more highly rated from a television standpoint than it was a year ago. A lot of folks saw Jake Fromm that had never heard of him before, and they liked what he saw. Jake Fromm, I think, played pretty well in both of those games, and I think he ends the 2017 season as one of the emerging stars for 2018. Not just good player on the field, because a lot of times good players aren't themselves celebrities necessarily. Take Nick Chubb, for instance. Chubb was really good for Georgia, an all-time great running back in some respects, but because of his personality, a little more comfortable sort of avoiding the spotlight. As a quarterback, I don't know that Fromm's going to be able to avoid the spotlight, but just because that spotlight is thrust upon him, just because that fame is coming his direction, my guess is it probably doesn't change too much about him. He'll still be the same, in other words, even if the perception of him from a lot of folks around the country is very, very different. One of the reasons why I do think that Jake Fromm is going to be able to withstand this celebrity status that might come his way, newfound attention that's coming his way, is because what we've seen from Jake Fromm over the course of his, I guess, what, about 13 months or so on the Georgia campus, is that he's just too busy working to pay attention to some of this kind of stuff. One of the real proud moments for me in my time here at Dog Nation SEC Country was at the Touchdown Club of Atlanta Awards almost exactly a year or so ago, when I had a chance to interview Jake Fromm back when he was in his first week as a college student at Georgia. And he talked about all the things that he was doing and all the work that he was putting in. And as a quick reminder of some of that, he was bragging about the time that he was already spending in the weight room. Take a listen.
Right now, I love the lifting part of it. I love being with Coach Sinclair and his guys, and lifting. You know, that's just something kind of sacred to a football player, is getting that weight room and in grinding and being with your guys, and really trying to figure out who's who and who's going to help you in the long run.
He enjoyed being in the weight room, but he also enjoyed being in the film room as well.
That film room, it's always open. You know, you can always go there, turn on some film, and just learn from it, watch it, digest it, and it's just something that really helps my game.
And he also talked about, in addition to sort of watching old film and kind of paying attention to that kind of stuff, really kind of diving into that playbook and learning the offensive philosophy that Georgia was doing. And this was done in some cases while Jim Chaney was still out on the road recruiting. Here's a little more from Fromm almost exactly a year ago.
We're doing a lot. We're meeting every single day. Right now, we're learning a lot about a defense assignment, a defense alignment. Really trying to figure out what the defense is going to do before we ever snap the ball. And, you know, we've been really diving into that. And as soon as Coach Chaney gets back from being on the road, we'll get into the offense, and it'll be great.
You may have seen the one-on-one interview I did with Jake Fromm from L.A. a couple weeks ago, and I asked him, hey, that work that you put in then, did it help you become the quarterback now? He said he thought that it did, and I think it's probably true as well. And my guess is that all of a sudden Jake Fromm's not going to just sort of magically stop doing that kind of stuff just because he's getting a few pats in the back from the media and the sort of, you know, national attention. My guess is that who Fromm was then, true to himself and the work that he wanted to put in, my guess is that stays true here for 2018. As well. Plus, here's another reason why, you know, being a star quarterback might not change Jake Fromm too much, that he might be able to withstand this extra attention and not fall prey to that. Because while he may be a star to a lot of folks in the country, the most recognizable member of this Georgia team in all likelihood, he is not necessarily the star of this Georgia team. If you'll pardon an analogy from Hollywood, you know, this is not a star vehicle. This is more of an ensemble cast, right? This is not, hey, the one big above-the-marquee movie star. This is a whole bunch of, you know, guys together who sort of equal the story for the Georgia Bulldogs, and that's true for Fromm now. It was certainly true for Fromm when he made his first start at Notre Dame. In fact, going into that game in South Bend, Kirby Smart reminded us of that very fact.
Certainly, it's a lot more heightened awareness when you know you're the guy. Obviously, with Jake, I think he's handling the situation really well. Some guys are going to have to play well around Jake. This is not the Jake Fromm show. This is not Jake Fromm's game to win or lose. There's a team traveling up there, and everybody's making a big deal about Jake Fromm. I mean, Jake Fromm's got 10 other people that got to execute so that he can.
Now, imagine this for a moment. I would never be stupid enough to do this, but what if I had a one-on-one conversation with Kirby Smart and said, you know, Coach, last year you said it wouldn't be the Jake Fromm show going into his first start at Notre Dame, but now he's got a season under his belt. Is it going to be the Jake Fromm show here in 2018? You're going to build your entire offense around him? Kirby Smart would look very sarcastically, roll his eyes, and say, no, of course not. Now, I think that Jake Fromm's one of the top quarterbacks in college football, both. I think that was true for him this year. I think it's even more true next year. But even Jake Fromm himself would say that the Georgia team is not going to be the Jake Fromm show. It's still going to be a team that leans heavily on a running game, looks to develop receivers, looks to be defined by how physical the offensive line plays. Jake Fromm will benefit from that, but he won't be the star of that. He's just going to be a component in that process, not the end-all, be-all of that discussion, despite the fact that he's going to get more national attention in 2018 than he's gotten in the past. Something else that I think is going to help Jake Fromm with sort of newfound celebrity status, national attention that comes from being in the college football playoff, is that Fromm has kind of always been one, even in moments when he's done well, to look to sort of give attention and give some compliments towards some other folks. After what was, at that point, the biggest moment of his career in the SEC championship game, he did some of that too.
You know, it's kind of crazy. You know, a lot came to me really fast. But, I mean, then again, you know, the coaches and my teammates around me, it really helped slow it down for me. Just kind of taking it day by day. And, man, those guys make it really easy for me.
And listen, the bottom line for me in this entire discussion is I think the attention that Fromm's getting right now is well-deserved. I'm glad to see that maybe some people around the country are noticing what Georgia fans have been aware of for a while, is that Jake Fromm is a really good quarterback. He's, I think, according to one online sports book, the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy next year. He deserves some of that attention, but sometimes attention can be a bit of a negative. It can kind of, you know, change the behavior of the person receiving the attention. With Jake Fromm, I wouldn't worry about that too much. He maybe play well enough to be considered a star, but I don't think he's going to act like a star very much around Athens. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Only available the way it all began for us in podcast form today. No video, but we'll be back at 10 a.m. tomorrow on the Dog Nation Facebook page. No radio today, but we'll be back at noon on Tuesday as well on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We're just glad to have you clicking in on the show today. iTunes, SoundCloud, the world-famous DogNation.com. Glad to have you. And, of course, do want to take this moment to remind you once again, we are at the Marlowe's in Buford tomorrow night, Tuesday night, from 6 to 8 p.m. Marlowe's Buford, that's 3333 Buford Drive. It's right there at the Mall of Georgia for our Dog Nation countdown to signing day event with Marlowe's. Jeff Sintel will be there. I'll be there. The folks from Tailgate Apparel, that's David Green's company that he works with, they're going to be on hand passing some giveaways, I understand, showing off some of their cool stuff. The folks from Tailgate going to be hanging out with us tomorrow. I understand a special guest expected to be on hand as well. So a really great night. The Marlows in Buford. Georgia's got the number one class in the country right now. How do they keep that class? Where do they go next? We'll do all of that with you. Jeff Sintel, special guest, a whole lot more fun and surprises. Marlows in Buford, 6 to 8 p.m. Right there Tuesday night, 3333 Buford Drive. Coming up, we got a really good conversation with Chip Towers. I was able to talk to him about a number of subjects. At the end of our discussion, I got more into what a lot of y'all have asked me to talk more about this week, which is the frustration that comes off some blown calls by officials in the game against Alabama. So we're mostly positive with Chip. I do kind of get into that a little bit more because some of you asked that we do talk more about that. And so we will do that with Chip Towers here coming up in just a moment. I'll also tell you very quickly that Dog Nation Daily is brought to you in part by my friends at MyBookie. You know, we're coming off a weekend of NFL playoff games. You've got conference championships coming up this upcoming weekend. And that means opportunities to play with the pros play and be a big winner, whether it be points spread, money line, over under. It's all there for you at mybookie.ag. And right now, MyBookie's got a great offer for Dog Nation Daily listeners and viewers. You can get your first deposit match up to 100%, but you've got to use the promo code Dog Nation, spelled the way it's supposed to be, DAWG. Use that promo code Dog Nation at the website mybookie.ag, and you can get your first deposit matched up to 100%. You play, you win, you get paid. They pay out faster than anybody, at least anybody that I know of. Within 2 business days, they'll take care of you there. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie. On the web, mybookie.ag, promo code DOGNATION. Your first deposit can be matched up to 100%. All right, so Chip Towers right now on a special edition, audio only for us on Dog Nation Daily. You're good to click on the show. We're glad that you're here. Hope you enjoy the rest of the program.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Good to welcome in Chip Towers, this special edition of Dog Nation Daily here on this MLK holiday. Glad to have him with us as we pre-record this. And, of course, the aftermath of the national championship game is still kind of unfolding here. And, you know, Chip, this is one of those things that I think, you know, for a lot of Georgia fans, you know, it was so close and you know, so close to seeing Georgia with that national championship trophy in its hands. And for a lot of fans, it's just sort of hard to let those memories of that game go, is it not?
Well, it is, Brandon, and I've been concerned about you the past few days. And you sound a lot better today, but, you know, I don't know if you got a chance to see, but I wrote a column this week talking to Jeff Danzler. I think Jeff is probably the consummate Georgia Bulldog fan. You know, and the reason I called him is I remember him to this day. He talks in unbelievable detail about Georgia's losses to Pitt and Penn State in the years that followed Georgia's 1980 national championship. A lot of us forget now that while Georgia won it in 80, they played for it in 81 and 82. Well, straight up played for it in 82 and in 81. They needed Clemson to lose in order to make it, and they lost to Pitt. And those, you know, still hurt him profoundly as he was a 9- and 10-year-old boy at the time. Now he's a full-grown man and a voice of the Lady Dogs and baseball and does a lot of work on the football broadcast. And he says this one was both of those and the 2012 Alabama game kind of all rolled into one when it comes to how much it hurts. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is, you know, it's good to get yourself in that position. It's good to have those memories. The season was unbelievable, and I would just suggest to you, Brandon, and all the Georgia fans to think about, you know, the Terry Godwin catch at Notre Dame, the Sony Michel performance in the Rose Bowl, you know, Rodrigo Blankenship's kicks. I mean, there's you know, when do you ever see really anybody in any season play Notre Dame and Oklahoma in the same season, plus Auburn and Alabama? I mean, that's just it was really a special run that we all got to kind of make with the Dogs, and too bad they couldn't cash in. That's what hurts right now, but you got to try to take the positives out of it, and there's a lot of them.
And I'll admit, Chip, there is a part of me that is kind of ready to see that transition take place where, you know, people can appreciate those memories. Because I can speak from someone who had a chance to, you know, be a part of a lot of these things. Going to South Bend was as much fun as I've ever had, and it may have only been matched by going to Pasadena and L.A., you know, later on in the season. Obviously, you know, rivalry games like the Florida game, the Tennessee game, Georgia, you know, wins those, you know, solidly, the Florida game's extra important to me. And think about the SEC championship. At a certain point in time, I do think it is going to be fun to kind of look back on some of this stuff. I thought it was cool when you see some of the official Georgia social media stuff. It's already touting itself as Rose Bowl champions. That's a bit of a symbol that they've kind of moved on and ready to kind of appreciate what was as opposed to lamenting what wasn't. And I'm kind of excited about the chance for fans to sort of reminisce and tell some of those stories together too, because – yeah, apart from the way that it ended, it is a season that, for good reasons, I'll never forget.
Yeah, and think about, you know, nobody hurts more than Kirby Smart. I can promise you, nobody hurts more than Kirby Smart. Maybe his wife, Mary Beth, but, you know, certainly nobody hurts more than him. But he's all, that's the reason you're seeing that stuff come out on social media. I mean, he's already had to turn his attention, you know, back to the class of 2018, back to the class of 2019. And he's got a lot to sell, you know, based on this. This is we didn't expect this. I did. Maybe you did, Brandon. You're an optimistic guy when it comes to your dogs. But you know, I'll own it. But you know, going back to July in Birmingham, I just saw so many flaws in this team that would prevent them from having the kind of success that they had. But to Kirby's credit and his staff, I mean, they addressed each one of those concerns directly and head on. And you know, and you got what you got, which was a championship caliber team. And I think having gone to overtime with the perennial power Alabama, you know, it proves that they, you know, it wasn't smoke and mirrors. You know, they got there through the real deal. And, you know, give this staff a little bit of time to get everybody in they want to. Now, there may be a transition. You know, I don't want to be, you know, negative Nancy already, but, you know, you just lose so much from this team. You know, just incredible defense, incredible senior leadership. You know, all that's got to be replaced. But, you know, based on the way that Kirby's recruiting and everything, you know, the thought is that it won't take long. And the other thought is he's proven he can take you to the top of the mountain, you know, and next time maybe Georgia will get to plant their flag there.
Yeah, I talked about some of that leadership stuff on Friday's episode of Dog Nation Daily about how, you know, some guys are going to have to step up and do in 2018 what the guys like Lorenzo Carter and Nick Chubb, Sonny Michel, Davin Bellamy, on and on you go, what those guys did in 2017. And I think we're already starting to see some candidates about who that might be. You know, I think that Jonathan Ledbetter, assuming that he does stick with Georgia and doesn't, you know, change his mind, decide to go on to the NFL draft. He said thus far that I think that's what he's planning on doing. I think that he's going to be one of those guys. I think offensively, you look at some of the sophomores, rising sophomores like Fromm, Andrew Thomas, DeAndre Swift. I think they're going to be some of those guys for various reasons. I mean, when you look at those potential future leaders for 2018, you agree with those names? Are there other names you'd kind of drop in there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I think Terry Godwin is a natural-born leader. He was actually as a junior part of that leadership committee, so he'll definitely you know, carry on some of that. And I think Lamont Gilyard, again, he has expressed some interest into possibly turning pro. I don't think that would be a good idea, especially when you think about how he struggled, you know, against, you know, the Alabama nose guard in that championship game. That's what he'll be facing every week in the NFL. But he's a great leader, a center on your defense, and you look for guys like that to lead. Certainly Jake Fromm is going to provide a great deal of leadership. He did that as a true freshman. Imagine having another year under his belt to lead this team. And, you know, and the defensive side of the ball, I mean, you know, there's guys over there. Ledbetter is a great example. You know, I've been so impressed with how far that young man has come.
Sure.
And he's definitely going to be a leader and a spokesman on that defensive side of the ball. And, you know, they're going to have to find some more. DeAndre Baker, if he comes back, you know, can definitely fill that role. But otherwise, you know, you're going to be in search for guys on the defensive side of the ball to become leaders. Maybe Rod, you know, maybe Hot Rod.
Yeah.
You know, becomes a little more vocal as a junior, a redshirt junior. And certainly he's a guy who's developed into quite the folk hero. So I think he's somebody who's people are going to listen to when he speaks.
Yeah, you wrote about him coming off the national championship game. He obviously makes, you know, a big kick for Georgia in that game, big kick in the Oklahoma game. He really ends this season with a great deal of confidence. And you know, the conversation about Rodrigo is going to be a lot different this offseason than it was a year ago. Last year was about, you know, somewhat controversial nature of, is he going to stay at Georgia? His dad became outspoken. This year it's more about Georgia kind of having what Alabama doesn't, which is an incredibly reliable kicker who, you know, Kirby Smart can kind of game plan around a little bit. Now, kickers also have a way of being erratic from 1 year to the next, so it's not a given that Blankenship will capitalize on this, but he certainly ends the season about as much of a confidence high as you can be on, right?
Well, if you look, I mean, just look at his performance arc, you know, I mean, what he's done in such a short amount of time. And that's the thing. I was talking to Kevin Butler about him this weekend. He's just one of those guys. You tell him something and he will believe it as gospel. He will follow it, you know, to the nth degree. He's actually, you know, one of the things about people, you don't really, I mean, Rod's a pretty big guy. He's a pretty athletic dude. And so he's gotten stronger while he's been here. I think as much as technique, that had a lot to do with his increasing touchbacks from, I think it was 15 as a redshirt freshman to a school record and fourth in the country, 67 as a sophomore. You know, where does he, where can he take that from there? And then we've also seen his increase in range, you know, making, he's the only guy in the country, the only guy in history who's made, you know, 250 yarders in the playoff era. You know, we're only a few years into it, but I mean, those were big kicks. Those are not fool around, you know, meaningful kicks. And he makes them both, and that's pretty incredible. So, yeah, I mean, I think Rod's got a bright, bright future. And then, of course, you've got the Jake Camarda coming in from Norcross, number one rated kicker in America. But I think primarily he's going to come in to give Georgia a look as a punter. Sure. He does both for Norcross. And he'll certainly, you know Kirby. I mean, I'm sure he'll say that the place-kicking job is wide open and give Jake Camarda every opportunity to beat out Rod. But at this point, I think Hot Rod's pretty tough to beat out.
You mentioned the column that you wrote with some quotes from Jeff Dancer, and I did read that. I want to finish with a conversation about something from that in a moment. Before that, let me squeeze in something on Jake Fromm, who you mentioned also a minute ago, and I talked about Fromm on today's show before you joined us. And I think that we're entering into kind of a new territory for Fromm in 2018, a guy who's going to be more of a celebrity probably for Georgia than really a lot of players have been in recent years. Chubb's been a great player, but, you know, his personality doesn't necessarily lend itself to him being a celebrity. You know, Fromm's going to get a lot of national attention coming off this national championship game that Georgia players haven't often gotten. My assumption is it won't change him. He's a pretty down-to-earth guy. But would you agree he's going to be getting a lot of extra attention next season because of the fact that he was in the big national stage for two games here this postseason?
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, he you know, already was kind of beloved, not kind of, he was very much beloved by the Bulldog Nation and what he did this season so unexpectedly, coming in and filling in for Jacob Eason and then leading Georgia to the promised land, as it were. But, yeah, now he's achieved national acclaim. I mean, everybody saw it. Kirk Herbstreit was raving about him. Others, you know, talked about how he's so far beyond his years as a freshman and his ability both to lead and to process information and, you know, understanding offensive and defensive concepts. Again, you talk about, you know, arcs of improvement, you know, just based on the track that he has made so far. I guess there's a ceiling out there for him somewhere, but, you know, I don't think he's gotten to it yet, and I think it's very, very high. And as he continues to work with Jim Chaney and they start to build things around what he does, and he's going to improve with what he does. You know, one thing nobody's really talked about all year is, you know, Jake being relatively young, think about how many balls he's thrown all year. That's tough on the arm. And yeah. So number one, he's probably going to rest that a good bit here in the next couple of few weeks. But once he gets that built back up, gets his strength built back up, he's got even more arm than he showed this season. And so that's going to get better as well. So, yeah, that's a great building block when you have a quarterback to build around. That is block number one. And I think you're right. His humility and the way he carries himself, I don't see this going to his head or going crazy or anything like that.
All right, last thing for you here, and we appreciate your time today. You wrote the column. You had the quotes from Jeff Dancer, who's been, you know, connected to the Georgia program for quite some time. And in that discussion, one of the subjects that comes up is the officiating. Some bad calls were clearly made in the national championship game. They go against Georgia. And what I said to Seth on Thursday's show last week, what I'll say to you now is almost the same thing. I try to make it a general rule not to focus too much on officiating because it's sort of a maddening discussion, right? I mean, let's say that everybody in the world agrees that, yes, Georgia got some bad calls. I don't think anybody assumes that they were sort of in the fix was in, that they were intentionally being jobbed. It just sort of bad officiating. And, you know, it almost seems like, from my perspective, a guy who does sort of a Dog Nation Daily type show every single day, it almost seems like crying over spilled milk to make too much of a deal about, you know, four or five calls, even four or five really bad calls that, in this case, all went against Georgia. So my question, Chip, is how am I supposed to process this? How are the people who listen to this show every day supposed to process? And what do you do about the fact that not only were calls made that sort of hurt Georgia, but there'll never really be any kind of clarification from the officials. Nobody's ever going to have to answer for that, explain anything about that. It just sort of is what it is. And that's the part, I think, for some fans that's the most frustrating. What do you do about that if you're a fan here?
Yeah, and you're right, and you're expressing the frustration of generations of sports fans. That might be something to do in the future is to go back over, you know, some of the worst calls in history. I mean, the sports landscape is filled with them. It's part of sports, and it's even better now than it used to be from the standpoint of you do have replay, but there's still a great number of calls that cannot be reviewed, and if they would have been, they would have come out a little bit different. Maybe as simple as offsides and false start and that kind of thing.
Right.
But then the truth is, you know, the game is going to be slowed down exponentially if you start reviewing every single play. You know, every single call. It could last forever. So the way you process it is that we were unable to overcome the officials because
yep.
You either overcome it or you don't overcome it. And, you know, you can't lose sight of it. I mean, there were plays in that game that had nothing to do with the officials. You know, I heard a lot of Georgia fans talking about, well, you know, that was just unlucky to for Jake Fromm to hit his own guy's helmet and end up in an interception. Well, no, it wasn't unlucky. You know, the defensive tackle had driven the guard 4 yards deep into the backfield. That's why the football hit the helmet, and that's, you know, the Alabama's season and their history are filled with such tip balls and interceptions because that's what they do. And there were several plays like that. Georgia had ample opportunity to overcome even the circumstances as they befell them this past Monday. And unfortunately, they just came up short. And you know what? I haven't gone through and enumerated every bad call that Alabama got. I'm sure they had them, and I'm fairly certain that they didn't have anything as significant as an offside blocked punt. You just can't ask for a bigger game changer than that, and that was early in the third quarter and really would have made a huge difference if they don't get that call. But the bottom line is, you know, they did. Alabama probably had a few they can complain about as well. At the end of the day, it's not going to change the result.
Chip, it's good to have you on Dog Nation Daily. It's really kind of you to spend some time with us here on what is a pre-recorded show for us. We'll look forward to reading a whole bunch from you in the days ahead here and catching up with you soon on the program as well.
Yeah, enjoy the holiday, Brandon. You deserve it.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really good stuff from Chip Towers, and I think what he says about the officiating is for the most part right. It's not necessarily what all fans want to hear. It's not really necessarily even what I want to hear. But I do think Chip is right with some of the stuff that he says, that ultimately Georgia just couldn't overcome what it had to deal with. And is it unfair that Georgia had to deal with sort of extra issues with the officiating? I certainly understand where you come from on that. And when I go back and watch those replays, I get mad too. I do. I get mad at those replays too. But ultimately, you know, Georgia still had its chances to win and could not get that done. I'm actually going to have more on that subject in just a moment. As we transition to our SEC through. Before that, let me remind you that Dog Nation Daily, also brought to you in part by our friends at ATL Next. A new ATL starts right now. ATL Next is Hartsfield-Jackson's development program that consists of a series of projects over the next 20 years. Learn more about roadway impacts, nightly closures at next.atl.com. And, you know, where I want to pick up on that officiating discussion is, I've even heard from some of my friends on this, that it's the Big Ten's fault. The Big Ten has lousy officials. If this is the best in the Big Ten, then the officiating's not really good. But, y'all, I mean, How many times do we criticize about SEC officials? I mean, we act like that SEC officials would have solved everything. I mean, half the time we're mad at the SEC officials about something. And, you know, ACC fans will tell you their officials are worse than the worst. I mean, look, the SEC fired Penn Wagers. The ACC hired him, okay? So, I mean, if you want to find out how bad ACC officiating is, they're willing to hire a guy the SEC fired. So it's not just the Big Ten that has this problem. In fact, Kentucky Athletic Director Mitch Barnhart wrote a nasty, strongly worded letter to the Pac-12 about their officials coming off the bowl game against I don't even remember who it's against. Benny Snell got thrown out of the game. Who did Kentucky play in a bowl? I should probably remember that. Northwestern. They played Northwestern, the Music City Bowl. So Benny Snell got thrown out of the game for bumping into an official. You may not have seen it. It was very controversial there in Lexington because Snell was upset about it. Some people, you know, kind of said some things about him for being a little maybe a little tense and terse in the postgame press conference. Barnhart's defending him. According to the Lexington Herald Leader, Jennifer Smith is a reporter here. She, you know, got access to the letter that Barnhart wrote to the Pac-12. I'm going to read to you a couple sentences here. He wrote, "We feel great disappointment that it was supposed to be a quality bowl experience for our young people. Our university was marred by these incidents," meaning incidences caused by Pac-12 officials. Mitch Barnhart goes on to write, this is the Kentucky AD, "The intent of the no contact rule," meaning players bumping into officials, "the protection of the officials was not adhered to in this case. Video of the incident does not support the call made on the field or the statement made by the officiating crew postgame. The character, the intent, the quality of the young man in our program have been unfairly called into question as a result." So Barnhart's upset with the Pac-12 officials. Georgia fans upset with the Big Ten officials. Half the time we're mad at SEC officials. ACC fans will tell you there's the worst of all. Maybe we've just got an issue with the officiating. The quality of it in general is just not very good. And, like, I don't really know how good it's supposed to be. Like, how high of a standard should you expect? I mean, I can't stand these NFL games half the time. It seems like, you know, they've gotten so, like, what's the word, granular? I always get in trouble when I use bad, you know, big words. But, you know, they've gotten so granular with how, like, in-depth they get with some of their officiating that it's almost impossible to watch some of these games. Do we want this for college football, too? So I really don't know what you do about it. I mean, if you listen to Thursday's show, if you listen to today's show, I essentially asked both Seth and Chip, two objective journalists, I essentially asked them the exact same question. How are Georgia fans supposed to process this? I mean, the part for me that's the most frustrating is almost not the fact that there are blown calls, because there are going to be some. I don't believe that the fix was in, and I think a lot of what you've heard on the internet about that may be somewhat misleading, actually maybe more than somewhat misleading, but I don't believe the fix was in. But what Chip wrote about, and we just talked about this a moment ago, but what he wrote about that kind of aggravated me was, is that when you try to find out, okay, so who's responsible for these officials? It's like every other bureaucratic process of you know, 15 different entities pointing in each other's direction. You know, the college football playoff says the NCAA assigns the conference for the officials, and then the conference picks the officiating crew. But what's weird about that is, if you really think about it, the college football playoff, to my knowledge, is not even an NCAA-sanctioned event. I mean, you know, the FCS, the Division II, the Division III, those are all, you know, NCAA-sanctioned events. But the college football playoff trophy does not say NCAA on it. Compare the basketball championship trophy to the football championship trophy. The basketball championship says NCAA blazing right there across the front. The football one doesn't. It's not a sanctioned NCAA event. It's owned by the college football playoff. So to say the NCAA assigns the officials, that sounds normal and within protocol at first blush. But when you think about it, that just feels like passing the buck to an entity that really doesn't have any control over this event. I can tell you right now, the NCAA does not care a hoot that calls were blown by officials they assign. And the Big Ten probably doesn't either. Maybe this is one of those deals where if the College Football Playoff Committee is going to reap all the money for this, maybe they ought to take some responsibility for who's working in some of these games. By the way, really quick, couple final stories to get to here since I went off on that rant tangent that I did not necessarily intend to go off on. Jarrett Stidham goes on a local radio show out in Waco, Texas, talks about his decision to return to Auburn. He seems to think that Auburn has a chance to be really good in 2018, and I don't necessarily disagree with him. I do think that, you know, I've made a big deal in Dog Nation Daily about a lot of the hype going towards Alabama at the expense of Georgia. But some of that hype is at the expense of Auburn as well, because as much as I'm not an Auburn fan, Auburn did beat Alabama this season. And, you know, for what it's worth, beat Georgia once as well. That, you know, just because Auburn losing a couple running backs here doesn't mean that they can't be counted on to be pretty good here in 2018. So I think that Stidham's right when he says that Auburn should be counted on as a contender in this upcoming season, along with Alabama and Georgia. And by the way, kind of a classy move by South Carolina, who hires former running back Marcus Lattimore. Of course, you know his football career comes to an end in a fashion that he did not intend, and no one would have imagined. He suffers a debilitating injury that prohibits him from playing football anymore. But good to see him getting a job there at South Carolina. I think he'll be a good representative of that program. Before we wrap up here, let me also remind you that Dog Nation Daily brought to you in part by Kroger. If you haven't checked out Kroger Click List, most convenient way to shop for groceries, sign up at Kroger.com. You make your order online. You show up. They hand it to you. It's ready to go. Kroger, a good friend of us here on Dog Nation Daily, and you're going to love Kroger when you try the Kroger Click List. All right, so thanks for being with us on a audio-only, podcast-only edition of Dog Nation Daily today. Still do a Gatorator Countdown. If I've done the math here on this pre-recorded show, by the time you hear this, assuming you listen to it on Monday, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party will be 285 days away. We count it down every single day. We call it our Gator Hater Countdown here on Dog Nation Daily because we believe that good Georgia fans are Gator haters first and foremost. Even on days we pre-record, even on holidays, we still tout the idea of being Gator hater here on Dog Nation Daily. I'll also follow up real quickly on something else that Chip Tower said a moment ago. He was talking about Rodrigo Blankenship and how he's bigger than you might think some kickers would look. I will admit that a couple times when I've seen Rodrigo lately, that is the first thought I've had. As a kicker, he is much more muscular than you ever would have imagined. He's in pretty good shape. So big things for Rodrigo in 2018? Maybe so. We'll see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily.